Welcome to Making Geeks, the best podcast on the internet for makers, dads, and geeks. With us today, we have my three fabulous co-hosts, Mr. Josh Price.
Hello.
Mark O'Keefe.
What's up?
Wesley Swain.
Well, formal today, Wesley. All right.
You're in trouble.
Let's do it. Go to your room.
I'll top
watch that. And I am Sean Joliker.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Be careful. Someone's going to name their kid that one of these days.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
So what are you guys working on this week? Wes, what are you up to, man? How much cement have you burned through?
Well, it's more of a question of how many Raspberry Pis. No, it's actually... I try to put a Raspberry Pi Zero inside of a casting of a concrete casting of Thwomp, and something wasn't sealed properly, and it didn't work. Like, electronically, I had like a garbled screen, and every time I tried it, it was worse and worse, until the point where it doesn't even do anything anymore. It was like HDMI port and a couple power plugs, and just nothing would display. So I ordered a new Raspberry Pi Zero from Adafruit and some other connectors and things that are currently otherwise embedded in the failed attempt. I considered smashing the pieces out to get like various connector bits and things out of there, but I just decided to leave it as is. So $30 later, again, it'll be my fourth attempt to get this thing done, and I don't think I have any more patience for it.
I wonder if Catherine has any more patience for it.
Oh, two attempts ago.
I would love to hear that conversation.
It'll be end up being over $100 project, yeah. Easily.
I need $30 more to put a tiny computer into a bunch of concrete for a fictitious and online contest.
The original Pi Zero I had was just sitting on a shelf in the other room. I hadn't used it for anything.
Send it to me.
And I think I was saving it for our project that we never got going. And it just kind of popped in my head. And, you know, I could have just put a simple hub in there and probably finished the contest on time, the challenge. But I like to make things difficult for myself. and that did it in, I guess. I don't know. It was a risk, and I knew it was a risk that I was taking by making it more difficult. But in the end, I think it'll be a better project. So.
If you wanted to maybe capitalize on it more, would you actually be able to sell the Thwomp as a Raspberry Pi enclosure?
The actual cement one?
No, awesome. But I mean, you have the 3D printed one. You've already done the modeling for. You could set it up to actually hold the Raspberry Pi and possibly sell that and make some of your money back. You've already done all that work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
It's even big enough to hold on Arduino. Just make custom cutouts for all the different ports.
Even better, you can make it a little Raspberry Pi arcade inside the Thwomp and play all the old Nintendo games.
It's Walkman size. You can put cassettes in it.
Get an old Sony Walkman.
Mm-hmm. Put your Bone Thugs and Harmony tape in there.
You talking about put a screen in it, Sean, for the Nintendo thing?
You could if you wanted to, maybe on the back. I don't know how it depends on how big it is.
The original idea was to put the emulators in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what the Raspberry Pi was in there for. It was going to be basically a retro game console with some ROMs on it.
Oh, so we were already on the same page.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's where I went astray, is that I was like, oh, let me try this. And nope.
But the only game it'll play now is Mario 3, where you can't get past that part in the castle, where every time you try to jump underneath the Thwomp, it just smashes you and throws you into lava.
Yeah, there's a virtual Thwomp smashing my project.
It's a metaphor.
Yes. Indeed.
Well, Mark, what are you up to, man?
I am hoping to get some more work done on the turntable tomorrow. But for most of this week, I started a new project with a buddy of mine. We're prototyping something we're hoping to sell.
Hey-o.
So I don't want to go too much further than that, but it's going pretty good. I'm fixing some of my software so I can continue modeling on both my computers. But good. That's, yeah, those have been my two. I just want to get this damn platform done because I'm so sick of working on it. That's funny because I'm barely working on it, and that's the problem.
What else do you have left? I thought you got the motor and everything turning.
Well, I did. I have to make the final, because I made the mount out of pine, and I don't want to leave it in pine because I don't know if the screws will, you know, hold together with torque and tolerances and all that. So I cut a bunch of oak up and glued that all together. I just got to sand it down and then shape everything so the motor fits into it and I can bolt it down. And because the whole idea behind it was, if, you know, something goes wrong and I don't have my tools on me, I want to be able to take it apart with my bare hands and not need any tools to do it. So I have that figured out. Yeah, I just got to get the finalized parts together and finished. So it's, I can see a sliver of light at the end of the tunnel. Sweet. What are you, Sean?
This week I started milling up some old pallet wood to make a frame. If anybody knows who Jimmy DiResta is, and if you don't, I highly suggest going and checking him out. He did these prints off of an old printing press, I think from what, the 1700s, 1800s?
Yeah.
Really old printing press. And he's done a couple runs of them, and I was able to get one of the first ones that he produced. And I'm going to be making a picture frame for that. I've never made a frame before, so I have to, you know, make sure my miters are straight and all of that. And yeah, it looks like Wes has one too. Wes, did you get one of the orange ones or the white ones?
Yeah, I got one of the orange ones.
Yeah, so did I. I actually like those.
We'll have to see which one has a sooner number.
I don't remember offhand. I'll have to go check mine. I'll check it.
I haven't made a frame either, so I'm in the same boat as you.
But what's cool about the picture one is it's printed on this really old printing press. It has a really interesting quality to it. And it says, if it looks straight, it's straight. So I want to purposely have it basically tilted within the frame itself. So the frame should be basically all square, but the inside where the picture is going to be tilted, or at least that's my intention.
Nice.
I haven't completely figured it out yet. And then I also want to try to mill up the wood. So I basically cut it into really thin strips, glue them back together, almost like making my own plywood. And I'm wondering if that'll hopefully give it an interesting effect. And we'll see how badly I mess it up before I figure out exactly the right way to do it.
Okay.
I have a feeling that I'm going to go through a couple versions of this.
You got a TriStor, man. Plywood or a pallet wood is the best material to do that with.
Yep. And I've had this pallet wood in my backyard for probably almost 2 years at this point. And I have no idea what kind, but it looks interesting. And hopefully it'll work the way I see it in my head. I'm really not too sure yet. How about you, Josh?
I'm still working sluggishly on my master's project, my master's portfolio. And after some conversations with my wife and some friends of mine, I have decided for the workshop to actually keep my X-Carve. I'm not going to sell it. It's not going to sit in storage anymore. But it is too big. So the SketchUp designs I made were really, really helpful to figure out what I want to put in there and how I want to do it. So I've decided to cut the X-Carve up. But I don't have a miter saw or my table saw anymore. So I have to go to a friend's house, go use his miter saw and his table saw, chop it up, make it a custom size so I can fit it in the area that I want to try to maximize space. So that'll be fun. I think I'm going to do that this weekend.
Josh, I had a thought about, you said your new area that you're living in is a lot of older guys, right?
There are quite a few senior citizens around here, yeah.
Now, I'm wondering if you could get permission to make like a tiny, like if you went around to everybody and if they're at all handy, because, you know, a lot of older guys are, make a shed, get like a table saw, a chop saw, just a couple basic tools that you could store in the shed and everyone can use. You need to use them, you pull it out, do what you got to do, put it back in the shed.
There is a shed now that you mentioned. Like back in the back, there's like a
maintenance shed. That might solve a couple of your issues.
It may.
You know?
It's not a bad idea.
Community, what's the word for that?
It'd be my first makerspace.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be the senior citizens makerspace.
Put your own padlock on it and charge them $5 every time they want to unlock it.
I can do custom like hover round repairs. I can pimp them out.
3D print some spinners for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Man, that's bad.
Set up some chains on their wheels.
Some spinners. But yeah, that's what I'm up to. I just posted a video, I don't know, earlier this week. The holding tank on the RV has got some sensors on it, and there's electronic little components, and they kind of went out, but it's pretty common for it to happen. So I bought some much better ones and made a quick video about how to change out sensors in a poop tank. Nothing really fancy, it's kind of practical, but I wanted to make a video and I don't really have tools to do it, so I had to figure out something to do. And it was a project I needed to get done, and so a couple people said it was pretty helpful, so it was something.
Did you put the video together just like for shits and giggles or what?
I wonder how many poop jokes we can make.
It's okay. We need to use a little Mario coin sensor on there every once in a while.
Yeah, it looked like you were having a crappy time.
I had a lot of pent up. I had a lot of build up of creativity. Come on, Mark. You gotta do one.
I was just gonna do a simple one. It's gonna be one of those jobs that just stinks to do.
There we go. Well done, everyone. This is why we have this podcast right here. This is why I like you guys.
It's a brain trust right here, guys.
Wordplay.
It's too bad that some of our best stuff happens before we start rolling.
So our topic this week, we kind of leaked on it last. See, there's another poop joke. We squirted a little bit out last week.
Funny,
but
they're funnier when they're unintentional.
Wes was talking about some crazy neurotic thing he has that he couldn't stand, and we thought it was really goofy and random. And then we started talking, and we all have these very goofy neurotic things. And we figured we might as well throw an entire episode full of really silly, neurotic little hang-ups. I know I'm very OCD, so I'm chock full of idiotic things that bother me. And I'm sure that everybody else out there does too, so hopefully they get a kick out of it and they can relate and throw in their own. So Wes, why don't you kick it off? I know you don't like people pulling carts forward in a grocery store.
I don't know why that is either. It makes no logical sense. I mean, they're not really like running into me with the shopping carts, but it's just I knew the engineers for the original shopping carts are rolling in their graves because they had a certain way they wanted it used.
We're assuming they're dead.
Right? Shopping carts have been around for a while.
Just, they're freaking dead.
Pretty sure Abe Lincoln used a shopping cart.
Correctly.
Yep.
Historically accurate. Yes. I don't know. That's my big one, I guess. I'm done. You, Mark, you want to go next?
Great episode.
No. I got two of them.
No, I do have one other. Well, I don't know. I guess a lot of them revolve around grocery stores. All right,
so go for it. What else? If you're walking in a grocery store, what's going to make you throw Eggos at people because you're just irritated at them as human beings?
I'll jump on this one really quick. I actually can't stand it when somebody has a full conversation with a cashier.
Yeah.
As they're scanning or after they're scanning?
Basically, the cashier is done scanning, but the person still wants to talk to them. And you see the cashier is trying to move along the line. Everybody else behind is like, you know what? I don't mind waiting in line, but you're just kind of, you're holding everybody up at this point. And it's really an annoying conversation. I'm not very good in public places sometimes.
Now, do you say anything or do you sit there and stew in it?
No, I sit there and stew in it because it builds up. And if I say something, you know, somebody's going to hurt.
Just nudge them with the cart.
It's usually not pretty. No, I just usually bark.
What about when you only have like one thing left on the conveyor belt and the person comes up behind you and like puts one of the dividers down? Like, duh, hello, obviously. There's no need. It's like a redundant, you know, separating bar. I don't know what you call those things, but I don't know.
That impenetrable demarcation plastic bar.
I think this is the most animated I've seen Wes in a while.
I like it.
He's sitting up closer to the camera now, just kind of like itching for the next thing.
I'm awake.
I wonder what company decided to make those things that was so necessary. It's like you can't take ownership of your grapes and your toilet paper, that it was such a pandemic of people's groceries running together and just pandemonium at grocery stores. They're like, this ends now. We need some barriers.
There's a company who's gotten rich off of those things, you know?
They're living in some big...
Imagine being the inventor of that damn thing.
And that's, there are inventors like working themselves to the bone trying to find the next big thing. And there's some like 14-year-old throwing around Benjamins on Instagram because his parents came up with the demarcation blocks at grocery stores.
And they gotta be hollow because otherwise they're just too heavy, you know?
How about the person a couple years ago that came up with that thing? Just, it was basically a plastic handle with a couple hooks on it so you could carry like 4 or 5 bags at once. And that person's a multimillionaire now.
I've never seen a piece of plastic.
I haven't either, but a million of them got sold.
That leads into one of my pet peeves.
To China.
When we get groceries, like, I can't make more than one trip. Like, I will stare at an entire, like, load of groceries and figure out how many I can fit on a single pinky so I don't have to make 2 trips.
Personal challenge.
Exactly.
I'm exactly the same way.
I do the same thing.
Eggs will be smashed.
I think it's not a you thing. I think it's just a guy thing. Like, I'm physically capable of carrying all of this. It all has handles that will go all the way up to my shoulder. You're walking in like some weird baggy armed He-Man. Veins popping out of your neck and your forehead. Yeah. Wife looking at you cross-eyed like you're an idiot.
But have any of you lived on a third floor apartment though? It makes it a little more challenging. Yeah. Like, why did I move here? I hate this place. Before that, it's like the greatest place in the world. And then you're like, go to the grocery store. Nope. Got to move, honey.
We started to think if it was throwable, one person would stand on the stoop and the other person would be down at the bottom and just chuck up whatever it was and catch it and put it in the apartment. It was more fun than anything. It really had no utility. It took like 4 times longer than it needed to. You felt like you were getting over on it.
See, I'm a member of Costco, and that also makes it problematic because they don't give you bags.
They you just get boxes.
Yeah, you get a bunch of boxes. So I try and... Costco's my bane because I have to make more than one trip because the boxes, you can't stack them. They're already falling apart as is. So I end up just taking, like any paper product and just wing it from the car to the front of the door. So at least my trip is shorter.
So, Sean, as an English teacher, I know that I get irritated when people use words incorrectly. Like, and I always wondered about you, like, if it is amped up because of your background in English. Like, when people say irregardless.
No, I can't afford to, because I would have been taken away in a straitjacket years ago if any of that bothered me. I would not be able to do my job. Related to that, though, it's... So I've been teaching for 10 years, and over that time I've seen these different trends kind of come and go with certain students and what they just tend to do in terms of language and writing. The current trend is to not capitalize anything.
Like E.E. Cummings, you know, and a whole bunch of poets in your classroom.
No, just like things that should be capitalized, even just out of respect, even like America is all lowercase in almost in everybody's paper, and these are AP students. And that gets a little bit annoying just simply because of my job and seeing that this is what they're supposed to be writing and presenting as an example of their work. So that's a minor pet peeve of mine, although I think that's just immaturity and just the current state of language.
When these kids don't have any respect, is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that language constantly changes and people don't give it the same consideration that it maybe once had, especially when you have official dictionaries adding words like ginormous into the dictionary. I'm not too surprised. Yeah.
Well, language is supposed to be dynamic, right?
Language is constantly changing, so it's kind of hard to get too up in arms about a lot of that stuff.
Ginormous.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that one. I always thought that was more of a joke word.
It is. Ginormous, Google. There's like 5 or 6 words that get added every year that's really based off of popular speech.
What about Google?
What do you mean Google?
That's a real
Google
word.
Is no.
You mean to Google?
Verb? No. Yes.
That definition.
Well, the numeric measurement is Googleplex, not Google.
I thought it was
no. Google is the one with 100 zeros. Or yeah.
No, that's Googleplex. From if I understand correctly,
I thought Google was accepted short term though.
It was added as a verb though to Google.
Yeah, to Google, to Google something. To search, yeah.
Right, but I mean, it's a little bit odd because it's the name of a company, it's a corporation that had their name added. You know, it'd be like Coke, being able to find Coke in the dictionary under carbonated soda.
I mean, to be fair, the same type of thing, Band-Aid.
Right, the whole generic
science. You're not Band-Aid, getting a Band-Aid,
Kleenex. I know.
The people at Scrabble are ripping their hair out now. It's a proper name. It's in the dictionary.
We can't use capitalized words anyway. So
they're all capital letters.
We can't use them when you're playing, though.
I can't spell worth a crap, so I always hated Scrabble.
I thank God for the cell phone spell checker. Because whenever I'm sending a text now, kind of like I go, and it's a combination of sometimes I don't know how to spell a word, and other times I'm just fat fingering everything on the screen. So now I go through that editing bit, like, okay, that's the right one, that's the right one, that's the right one. Send.
I love how on the iPhone, whenever I try to, you know, type the F-bomb, it writes duck or ducking.
I think you can turn that off.
You can, but it's so humorous when it gets sent that way that I leave it. I think it sounds better.
In Android, it just gives you the dot, 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 asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to lay on a prank that you all need to play on your wives if they have iPhones. Is that you need to manipulate the hotkeys? You ever done this? Oh, yeah, you need to go treat yourself.
Is this a euphemism for something?
Go into your phone, go into settings, go into language, and you can mess with the hotkeys. Like, it's like a two-letter combination. So if they write, like, a phrase very often, they can just write, like, BRB, and it'll say, you know, type out the word, be right back. So I went on my wife's phone and saw some words that she used, like, repeatedly. She likes to say, like, girl. Like, oh, that's fine, girl. And I don't know, whatever. So I took the word girl, and I replaced it with bubbles. Because every time, they'd be like, hey, bubbles, like, where are you? Because she writes really fast. And she'd be like, what the hell? I was like, what's wrong? And I kept doing it. And anytime she put me, it would replace it with Tiffany Price in capital letters. And she wrote mom.
I've done that on Word. You used to be able to do that on Word.
Mom,
too.
I think I replaced like with a
replace
with duckies or something stupid, something completely ridiculous. And there was some time we were at a restaurant and all three of those magical hotkey pranks accumulated into one message, and she about threw her phone across the room. And she was like, this phone's a piece of crap, and she was explaining it to me, and I'm trying to keep a straight face, and I'm like, man, that's unfortunate. And the waitress comes up. She was like, mine did that too with the new update. I'm like, it sure did. So it got to go on for like a couple more days before she... underneath, she always knew that I was messing with her, but she always had that doubt because this lady substantiated it. It was so great. Every day I would add a new one.
She's a password on her phone, so it sounds like.
Why does it keep saying bubbles?
Yeah.
So Mark, what things really grind your gears?
Well, to start, I drive all day. That's my entire job. So where I drive now, there's, you know, you have two lanes, one north, one south. And you have the people who decide to do 20 miles an hour in the left lane all the time. And then they give me dirty looks when I drive around them. And I want to strangle these people because there's a law. You are not allowed to do that.
Now, are these just older drivers where you just see knuckles?
No, it's everybody. I don't understand it. And it's like everybody in this area. The second I get off this exit on the parkway, it's just all these people are just like, I like the left lane. It's comfortable. Get out of my way. I got a job to do.
It is quite luxurious in the left lane. So much room.
That, and I hate people when you hold the door open for them. They don't even look at you to say thank you. Or don't even, like, they just, like, oh, yeah, you were supposed to do that for me, peasant. And just walk by, don't look at you, don't say thank you, don't do anything. I've actually yelled at these people when they go past me. I yell back, I'm like, you're welcome! And then they get all startled and stuff, and then I walk away.
Or when you're walking behind somebody and they basically open the door in your face when they swing it open.
Yeah, those are the two things that drive me absolute. Just it's that little murder switch in my head. I'm just like, get the crazy eyes.
Have people those in your town learn how to zipper ones. When the two lanes go to a one lane? All right, so whenever I leave work, there's like a huge mass exodus of people, and it goes from two lane down to one. And the one lane that eventually ends up in the correct one will be like half a mile long. And if you try to go into the open lane, everybody thinks you're trying to cut them off. And so they get real angry and people will like swerve in the middle to prevent people from going all the way up to the front. And it's like, it's scientifically proven. And in Europe, yeah, in Europe, a lot of places, like it's common practice and they will yell at you if you don't do it correctly, where you go up to the front and you use common courtesy as a human being and you go one at a time. And that is apparently the dumbest idea. And people can't get that idea. I don't know why.
The funniest example of this I've ever seen in my life. There's a notorious highway in Jersey, 287. To get from 287 onto the New Jersey Parkway is murder. The line always ends up being like 5 miles long. So you get people that just drive all the way up to the exit and then cut in. And most of us don't like that because wait your turn in line. You get to the back of the line. So this guy jumps and cuts in. So the guy he cut off pulls out and cuts him off. The guy who did it first does it again. And I say to the guy I'm working with, I go, it was like 2 Crown Vics. I told him, I was like, if one of those flashes lights, I'm probably going to pee myself. I'm going to laugh so hard. And sure enough, the guy did it one more time. The guy he cut off turned the lights on, and I was like, yes! Yes! It's the greatest day ever. Pulled him over, started like cursing him out, and you could hear him.
Ah, people.
It was like perfect karmic justice.
What about people who get so decked out in like all this like expensive like jogging gear? This might be a Cary, North Carolina thing, I don't know, but like expensive jogging, you know, apparel and the hat and like little earbud things, and they're running on the wrong side of the road. Bugs the crap out of me.
I live in Southern Georgia.
Like, you're supposed to run towards traffic, you know, like.
People wear that stuff to look cute when they shouldn't be wearing it.
Ride bikes on the wrong side of the road.
Spandex is not mandatory.
Spandex isn't good on the people who should be wearing it sometimes.
How about his parents? Any?
What, two other parents or our kids?
Either way, as parents, since we're about the, you know, making geeks and dads.
Have all the bad things always, like, in my mind go back to the grocery store. I don't know, because I think that's the only other time I get to see.
It's the most common social interaction, right?
Well, last week we talked about jealousy, and I was talking about, you know, my issues as a parent. And I talked to my wife, and she's like, that stuff happens. But she has a huge, like, group of peers where she can compare, or she can kind of talk about, like, her crazy kids and other people's crazy kids. It's like, you three guys, like, we talk about our kids together, and that's, I think my kids are these weird, insane little individual people. And I'm like, oh, other people have the same issues I do because the three of you told me about it. So when I go to the grocery store, it's like the zoo. Like, I see other people and their kids in the wild, and it's insane. People who don't teach their kids to say thank you when you hold the door, or like, and I get it. I've got three young kids, like kids who are just screaming. Like, I hate that sound. Like, that sound is torture.
Yeah, like, I don't. Tracy told me a story when she went to the store the other day. She was like walking around, and this little kid walks up to her, and he like points to something on the shelf. Like, can you get that for me? And she's looking around, and there's no adult anywhere. So she's like, she's like, where are your parents? And he's like, I don't know. So she starts walking around, and like they were in another department, and she ended up finding him. But the guy's like, oh, there you are. And then she walks away and then finds that same little kid again about 20 minutes later, all on his own again. I'm like, how are you just
kids letting are sneaky. Them wander?
I don't know if it was that, like, after the first time, I'd kind of be like, where's that little freaking snake?
Put a bell on him.
Yeah. But yeah, the screaming, when you said the screaming bit, I can't, that just, and the parents were just, like, I'm not there yet, so this will probably all change, but I don't think I'm going to tolerate the tantrum, you know, especially in public.
I get up and leave. I go outside.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, you got to the count of three to stop this, or me and you are going out to the car, and you're going to sit in the car while I sit outside the car.
One thing at the grocery store that I don't like as a dad is I don't like that the grocery store puts freaking packs of Legos in the middle of the grocery store in the little toy aisle. That's mean. It's not fair. Your stuff is overpriced, and all you're doing is pissing my kids off because I tell them I'm here to buy, like, some paprika or whatever, and I got to pass through three sets of Star Wars Legos, and I got to hear about it the rest of the day. Don't put that stuff there. Go put it in the toy store where it belongs. You're ruining my afternoon.
We're just making it more convenient for you because you were going to buy your
kids. Well, Dad, you didn't buy me Legos, so can I have some Kit Kat bars? Exactly.
This is not a bartering system. Go away.
Marketing that has put me in a compromising position to barter with a 6-year-old.
Yeah. It's tough with kids because they're really not even people yet. They're work in progress. And, you know, what's frustrating is I think that with our generation growing up, I think there was a more common expectation of how kids should be in public and how you raise them. And it kind of feels that everybody kind of does their own thing now, so there's not that same social contract.
Well, back in the day, you could also smack your neighbor's kids and not go to jail.
Well, I'm not talking about the 1950s. You know, I'm talking about like even the 70s and 80s. I think there was a little bit more of a common consensus about, you know, behavior and decorum in public. And I think that there is a little bit more of a free for all where everybody just wants to do their own thing. And I think a lot of those expectations have kind of gone out the window. And I think a lot of the things you guys are identifying is like evidence of that, you know, in a small way.
There's a battle between the free range parents and the helicopter parents.
Yep.
Because my wife and I have that battle. Like if I have a grocery list and I know that the stuff is on the next aisle over, like I'll send Deacon to go get it because I want him to be able to be independent, to go find the thing I have him go do. And come right back to me. Like, he's not going to the other side of the store. If I needed to, I can just poke my head around the aisle, and there he is. Like, I might be on, like, an end cap, and it might be on the far end of the next aisle, you know, where I can just turn my head, and he's right down there.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife, like, oh, my God.
Well, see, that's different, too. You're giving the kid a task. You're not but still, letting him wander.
Oh, my God. The three child rapists can walk up and just snatch him automatically and walk out the door. And, like, all these doomsday scenarios. This is where my wife and I... It's probably the mommy and the daddy kind of battle, but she comes up with the 10 terrifying like things that can happen to someone in the split second, and I'm the pragmatist that's like, well, there's risk everywhere you go in life. You got to give them the opportunity to grow and do things on their own. And I think that the balance between those two things hopefully should equal out to a well-rounded, experienced individual. But right,
that's what we're all trying to work for. Yeah.
But going to the other end of the grocery store by himself, wandering around, like, maybe. It would depend on how many people are in the grocery store. Maybe.
Depends which grocery store.
Not Walmart. Is Walmart everywhere else like it is in southern Georgia? Is it deplorable? Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
That's why there's that website.
I picture this one town in America that has a Walmart and like doesn't understand the joke, because everybody's just nice. It's just a pleasant place
we
to go.
The nicest. Everyone walks in with like a suit Hello, and tie neighbor. And a nice dress.
You going to Walmart Hooray! Today? Yes, I'm wearing my best, my Sunday best.
I hope it reeks of fried chicken and sweat.
Whenever I go into a Walmart and the people that I see there, I swear I'm like, I don't see you anywhere else in public. So where did you guys come from?
That's why that.
It's
website
almost like
exists,
Walmart manufactured
that.
Them.
Yeah, that's right. Why that website is so
popular. We used to
call
them Walmart costumes. So I was like, people cannot dress like this in their everyday life. Like, you have to be doing this on purpose.
Mm. Every day is Halloween at Walmart.
Well, if you go to the state fair, you'll see them pop out too.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Except at the state fair, you get to watch them eat the fried butter blocks. I can't believe I actually saw that. Like, oh, we got fried Oreos, we got funnel cake, we got
like
fried
a stick
butter.
Of butter?
Wait, what was that last one? Yeah,
yes.
like a fry, like
a butter, you take a stick of butter on a stick.
I don't even know how butter, that's legal.
Stick of butter, dip it in batter, and fry it.
It's like a corn dog, but butter.
America's awesome. And they freak out because there's like 0.2% of horse meat in Swedish meatballs, but like eating a fried stick of butter, like that, there's a line out the door.
I don't want to eat the horse. The horse is a beautiful creature.
People use mane and tail shampoo.
I mean, we're in mane and tail.
What?
Isn't the mane and tail? There's like a horse shampoo, but humans use it. No, it's for horse use. It's like veterinary horse, but people use it. I don't know why.
People eat Jell-O. Gelatin's made out of what?
I had to break it to this vegetarian friend I have that he couldn't be drinking Red Bull anymore.
What, with taurine?
That's a rumor, though. Mm. I don't think that's what taurine actually is.
There's a rumor. I guess taurine is some kind of...
Yeah, was it made of cow something?
It's a rumor that it's bull semen
or bull derivative in some fashion. This is also the guy that came to work drinking a Sparks because we told him he couldn't drink root beer or Red Bull anymore. So he got a Sparks, which is like energy drink and vodka. And he came to work drinking it. And we're like, dude, this got booze in it. He's like, no, it doesn't. He's like, you guys were already messing with me about the Red Bull. We're like... No, man. you're getting drunk at work. We did mess with him a lot, though, but he was pretty gullible. Yeah.
That's so hilarious. Well, it's like Guinness is made with one of the processes is fish bladders. Like they filter it with fish bladders or something.
Europe.
Sounds fine to me.
So if you're vegan, you can't have Guinness. Vegan,
you can't have joy in your life.
So I can never be vegan. Yeah. I actually one of the guys I work with is that, and I asked him, I was like, okay, so you can't have like eggs because it's from, you know, the exploitation of animals. And he's like, yeah. I was like, what if you owned the chickens and you own the, like, could you have milk and cheese and eggs if you raised them and you knew they were happy animals? And he's like, oh, yeah, I thought about that. I'd probably, at that point, yeah.
Because an egg that you're going to eat is discarded, unfertilized. Like, it's chicken, period. So you're not harming an egg. You're not harming a baby chicken.
The only animal that poops breakfast.
You're not going out there and murdering.
Yep. What the hell has happened to this episode?
You're not murdering a chicken by eating eggs for breakfast.
This is the brain dump episode.
Yeah, this is fighting off brain sleepy.
But you are... It's been a false sleep. But no, the whole point of the eggs though is that
are you guys looking forward to pancakes?
I am.
I'm gonna have to bleep so many things in this.
What's wrong? Wait.
It's just a little bit, you know, a little bit off color.
Is it yellow?
Don't know if little Timmy's gonna be listening to our podcast with his dad and his dad doesn't have some explaining to do.
You know, it's somebody's first time listening to this right now, you know.
Maybe their last time.
And I would like to say welcome folks. To you, sir. Please fill out a comment card and let us know what you think.
I hope someone's sitting in traffic eating like an egg, like McMuffin. On their way to Walmart and just like ruining their day. All
that's it.
I hate those guys. Unsubscribe.
I know what a pet peeve is. These kids.
Listening to you guys. Jerks.
Oh, man.
You guys been geeking out about anything lately?
Yeah, did you see that thing I posted last night? The Castlevania remake?
I saw the headline, but I didn't actually see it yet.
Oh, I got so many flashbacks, and it was so beautiful, and it was the exact music that I remember. And was, oh, man, that was so cool. That made my night last night. That completely made my night last night. I saw that, I was like, oh, yay, happiness.
Now, is that a fan project, or is that actually official?
No, that's a fan project. Some dude's doing that on his own.
Well, that's disappointing, then, because Nintendo usually blocks that stuff.
Well, it's a Konami
product. Konami. It's not Nintendo.
Oh, that's right. But actually, Konami's been really strict about that stuff, too.
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine, like, it's not like they're horning in on your brand new, you know, games. That's a game that's 30 years ago. Let a man have some recognition for loving your product.
It does nothing but boast the visibility away, of something that was, you know, laid to rest a long time ago anyway.
Yeah. That and Epic Rap Battles are back, so I'm happy. I can't wait till the next episode.
Wes, how about you?
I was just looking forward to Doctor Strange whenever I get to see that. It's got some pretty good early reviews.
Actually, do we have homework this week? Sounds like it.
we could have an official spoiler cast.
Yeah, we've never had it. I
probably won't be able to make it, but
yeah, as an objective, like to see the same thing and talk about it the next time.
Actually, I might be able to see it. I'm taking Friday off because I am celebrating my 10th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congrats! Congratulations!
It's been a long 10 years.
Soon, sometime.
Yeah, so is mine.
I think mine's on the 12th. I think mine's on the 12th.
No, it's not. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So I get to celebrate my wedding anniversary, then 3 years, not 3 years, Hey-o. 3 days later, I get to celebrate my birthday. November's a busy month.
You poor man.
Yes. My last year in my 30s.
40's the new 20. I hate this. You're only as old as your mind. Science can fix your body.
I'm still stuck at 25 then.
I fluctuate between my actual age and probably
1998 was a good year. I'll stick to that one.
You were like 12 in 1998?
No, I was going to say 15,
14?
16?
14 or
15? So I was 22.
I was 18. Graduating high school.
See, 40's not that old, though. I was going to make some...
I started studying animation.
I was going to make some AARP going in the Navy. Jokes, it's not that old.
Not yet.
No, you can't make AARP jokes. I've been getting that mail for 10 years.
I don't
years.
Know how true it is, but I saw that... what's his name? The guy from 90210 was on the cover of AARP magazine.
No, yeah, he was.
That's so depressing.
Yeah, he was. I saw that.
That was true.
Yeah.
Well, they were like 30 playing high school kids anyways.
It's true.
Have you, Josh, geeking out about anything?
I have been watching a channel called Mike and Lauren. You guys know Mike and Lauren? They start the Ultimate Mobile Workshop, but they live now in an RV full time, so it's kind of interesting to me. But they have a really huge RV, and then he has a custom built pull behind like awesome wood shop, and so the combination of those two things is like larger than an 18 wheeler by like 25%. It's freaking huge, and so they just now started a vlog of their first 30 days. And it is pretty insane watching. Well, like, I've lived it. So they're trying to pull into these RV parks, and they're about to tip over and smash into trees. And it's pretty catastrophic when you're pulling around something this big and you're not really experienced. But watching them do it, like, I feel for him. He's trying, and their idea is they're going to take this mobile wood shop to people's houses and help them do, like, home renovation projects, kind of like a TLC kind of TV show, but for YouTube. And that thing is so big. Like, I was writing him some messages, like, I don't know how you're going to get that thing in a neighborhood. And he's like, it's real. They just came out with their third day vlog, and you can see, like, the stress and, like, the anxiety on their face from having to deal with that huge RV, being unfamiliar with it, not knowing really how to turn it. And then it's nowhere in the world is accommodating for a vehicle that big. And it gave me flashbacks to when Wes and I were in Atlanta for the Maker Faire, and I had to put our fifth wheel in this very precarious space, and I thought I was just going to fall down a mountain and die. And back of a Volkswagen.
Like the back of a Volkswagen.
Like, I had to go underneath the bridge, or this bridge that was 12 foot tall, and my fifth wheel was like 13 some feet tall. And in the video, they go through a tunnel where he like barely makes it through this tunnel. But yeah, it's insane. So I've been watching that, and it's, I don't know about geeking out. Like, I've been stressed for them because I know what they're going through. So go on over to their channel and give them a look. I mean, at least support what they're doing, because it's a great idea. Whether or not, I mean, just give them some love. That they're doing a project that they love, that they're passionate about, and they are hitting some real hurdles. And just like any passion project, like, you got to figure out how to get over those. So support is something that's really great. So head on over to Mike. The channel's called Mike and Lauren. See what it's like to live like a nomad, and have some compassion. Give them some love.
Especially for the third day week. Out.
Like, I don't know. You've lived in a house your entire life. You don't have to think about things. Like, the video I just put out about the tank, the black tank, like, I didn't have to think about where my poop goes. It just goes away. And now I have to manage all that. Every week I've got to empty out this thing. And you have to reevaluate how you do the most simple tasks in your life. And now he's trying to do that. God, like, that. The combination of those things is so big. And he's trying to do a very lofty and ambitious task, and his infrastructure is kind of crazy. So, yeah, go check him out. We want to talk about Boston a little bit.
It is official that we are going to the Making It 100 event in Boston. We are going to be having quite an interesting adventure with a bunch of us staying in a... how many of us now? Like 8 people
Something
staying
like
in
that.
This one place?
Yep. It might change.
We're gonna try to chronicle as much of it as we can, so be sure to be following us on our social media, because we're looking at about 4 weeks from now is when this is going to be happening. On the weekend of December 3rd. It's coming up really quick. So hopefully we'll have a way to record our live presentation, and that should end up being about episode 24, I figured out at that time. So have that to look forward to, and We should be doing something fun. We're planning a couple fun things for that event.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, we are one of five presenters in a day-long podcast convention, so it's, I mean, it's pretty awesome that, you know, we get to do this, right?
Yeah, definitely, but the young guns too, you know, comparatively.
Yeah, I feel pretty honored to even, you know, be able to participate in it as
we've
a presenter.
Got some really good ideas. We're going to kill it. It's going to be great. I think the thing I'm worried about, not speaking in front of 250 people, is trying to fit in that tiny Boston apartment with nine dudes. That's the thing I'm worried about the most.
Yeah, some of us are pretty big too.
At the back of a Volkswagen. There you go.
An interesting fit.
Some fashionable males.
Well, we'll mail you some Making Geek stickers if you can reply to us with that reference on social media. Where can we find that social media there, Mark?
Our social media is Making Geeks at Twitter, at Twitter, at Making Geeks Podcast on Instagram, Making Geeks on Facebook, makinggeeks.com for every last thing we have. Patreon members, the whole nine yards. Every last thing we are is on that website, and the rest of it's just the funny pictures.
If you have any questions, please go ahead and post them on the contact page on the Making Geeks website. We would love to hear from you. We are actually looking forward to getting more viewer, or I'm sorry, listener questions. And, you know, this actually helps us figure out the direction for the show, what you want to hear, the topics that we come up with. So please go ahead
iTunes,
and
leave
drop
us a review.
Along.
Would be super sweet too. We get those directly through us, and it boasts the podcast visibility. So if you know some people out there, they're looking for something cool to listen to. They are geeks and dads and like to tinker around with things. I think we're their target audience. So I'd like to thank everybody for hanging out with us. Stay tuned next Saturday when we drop another line. And I hope everybody has a wonderful evening.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Catch you later.
I talked about poop a lot in this episode.